Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. I'm glad you joined us today as we continue an amazing series of studies on the Holy Spirit and spirituality. Today, the Holy Spirit working behind the scenes. I know you'll be blessed as we study the Word of God together. So welcome and welcome to the team. Great to be together. This is going to be a life-changing series because the Holy Spirit wants to work in us and through us. And we're learning the importance of scripture and of prayer as the Holy Spirit draws us to a closer relationship with God. So I'm excited. I'm excited you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family. We get emails from around the world and we send them out so that others can be blessed. So send us a note, sshope@hopetv.org. We'd love to hear from you. Kivette, thanks for writing from Florida. Kivette is from Jamaica. Any Jamaicans here? All right, we've got a couple of Jamaicans clapping. And she lives in Florida, West Palm Beach. She says, I was impressed to reach out to you. I was recently baptized and I'm growing daily. Amen. That's awesome, isn't it?
Praise God.
I was introduced to Hope Sabbath School last year and now I watch consistently. Your interactive study is commendable. I've started to use your outline when I teach Sabbath school once a month. So she's just been baptized and now she's teaching. Is that good?
Yeah,
sharing what she's learning. By the way, if you want to have an in-depth interactive class in your Bible study or at your church, you can download the outline. HopeTV.org/HopeSS is our web address. Just click download the outline, and you can have the same outline we use in our class here. Through your commitment to make a difference in my life, you've helped me understand more clearly some areas that seem difficult to me. All things are possible through Christ who gives me strength.
Amen.
And he uses his word, doesn't he? Yeah. That's what we're studying about in this series. Keep working for the Lord and spreading his word through Hope Sabbath School. P.S. I love the scripture songs. Well, give up. We're going to have another scripture song here after I read a few emails. Nailette writes from Venezuela and says, I do not speak much English, but I understand the whole idea of your program. That's why we try to speak clearly, right? And we read the scripture clearly. Hope Sabbath School has given me much light on Jesus, my Savior.
Amen.
And I love your scripture songs. Well, Nailette, thanks for writing to us from Venezuela. Here's a note on our Facebook page. And somewhere along the way, we're going to hit 200,000. I know it. But if you are you're a Facebook fan, go to Hope Sabbath School and click like and we'll all smile. Because we're glad you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family. And we put pictures up, some things that we don't get to put up during the program of Hope Sabbath School members. What a wonderful inspiration, writes Celia. What a wonderful inspiration Hope Sabbath School is. It really does give us hope through the Word of God. And I'd like to share that my lifelong friend Philippa, who lives in the southwest of England, watches faithfully on her iPad every week. She's 88 years old.
Wow.
So high-tech grandma, right? And her sight is failing, but God is blessing her so much, she counts it a miracle when her technology works. She's been a lifelong Christian and values the way you bring the Word of God alive in a simple but profound way. So we both say, may God bless the Hope Sabbath School team until the blessed day dawns. What's that blessed day?
Jesus.
When Jesus comes in glory. Well, Celia, and through you to Philippa, your friend in the southwest of England, thanks so much for joining us for Hope Sabbath School. All the way from Zambia, Frank writes, and he says, I really enjoy Hope Sabbath School. Please keep on spreading the good news about Jesus. I know the Holy Spirit would say, yes, that's what I want us to do, because the Holy Spirit always points to Jesus, right? I'm asking for your prayers that I'll be accepted at the University of Zambia. I know there is power in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Well, we want to affirm you, Frank, for wanting to study and be all that God has called you to be. Pray for the Holy Spirit's guidance, too. He may have something in mind for you that may be even more than you imagined. Well, those are just a few emails, but I'm always happy to hear from Hope Sabbath School members, aren't you?
Yes.
It kind of puts a face on that vast multitude who are joining us. And we'd love to hear from you. You can write to us at sshope at hopetv.org. We're glad you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family. Right now, we'd like to hear you sing. We've got a new scripture song for this series on the Holy Spirit and spirituality. It's from Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. It's a beautiful song. You can download a copy from our website and the sheet music. Just go to hopetv.org/hopess. It's there absolutely free for you to download. But I hope you've already learned it. Let's sing it together. I just imagine that the Holy Spirit is going to bring that to your mind sometime during this series. Amen. Maybe when you're tempted not to be loving, you know, and the fruit of the Spirit is love, you know. And if you make it through most of them, then it says self-control. Isn't it amazing how the Spirit wants to teach us every day? Amen. And we're talking about the Holy Spirit today, working behind the scenes, but so important in the work of salvation, recreation, all that God wants to accomplish in us and through us. Let's pray the same Holy Spirit would be our teacher today as we study. Father in heaven, it's wonderful to have your word. We know given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, you guided the prophets as they recorded, you preserved scripture, and as we study, the Holy Spirit will guide us into truth. We pray that you would guide us even today as we understand more about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in us and through us. And we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to start our study today in the Gospel of John, chapter 3. We're talking about the mysterious working of the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Holy Spirit seems so much to be working behind the scenes that some sincere people even wonder if the Holy Spirit exists. But this series will make it very clear that the Holy Spirit is not only a significant person, but is part of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And yet he seems to always step back, especially in pointing to Jesus, lifting up Jesus. So John chapter 3. Kyle, would you begin our study in John chapter 3, verses 3-8. How is the Holy Spirit described here?
Sure. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit.
Now, how Jesus says to Nicodemus, who was a leader of the Jews, right? Mm-hmm. You must be born again. And how are we born again, according to the teaching of Jesus? How are we born again?
Through the Spirit.
Through this Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. But do we see the Holy Spirit working in that born again experience? Mm-hmm. Do we see Him or do we just see the working, Jason?
We see the effects of it. So mm-hmm. I think of like the wind through the trees. You can tell the trees are blowing, but you can't tell where that wind right. came, and you have no idea where it goes. You just see the effect.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's look at another narrative where Jesus is also involved in Matthew 3 and verse 16. Jamie, if you have that, Matthew 3 verse 16. This is at the baptism of Jesus. And what does it tell us there?
The New Living Translation says, after his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him.
So the Holy Spirit is anointing him. Later, Jesus yes. will say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me
yes.
because he has anointed me.
Yes.
But that anointing comes of the Spirit in the form of
a dove.
Okay, so John the Baptist, did everybody see the dove coming and resting on him? Or just those who were spiritually minded? Do we know? Did everybody see? John testifies, the Baptist, on whom the Spirit descends. So he saw.
Yeah.
But again, in the form of a dove. Let's look at another narrative in Acts chapter 1. Tricia Lee, if you'd read for us verses 4 through 8, and then I'll have someone else read the second chapter, verses 1 through 4. Jesus gives a promise in Acts 1, verses 4 through 8.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth.
Mm. Now, if they remembered, and there may have been a few of the early disciples who were disciples of John the Baptist who may have been at the baptism. I don't know if we know for sure, but Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist, as was John, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe some saw that. So maybe they were expecting that when the baptism of the Holy Spirit would come to them, that the Holy Spirit would come in the form of
a dove, right?
A dove. But let's look and see what the scripture records in Acts 2, verses 1 through 4. Joshua, would you read that for us?
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. The Bible says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues, as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Now, there is one symbol there that we heard of in the conversation with Nicodemus. What was that?
Wind.
The wind, right? Wind. So here's a mighty rushing wind. So there, that's not just, it was a windy day. No, there's a symbol of the Holy Spirit's presence. But what else is added now?
Fire.
Tongues of fire.
Wow.
Sometimes a dove, sometimes a wind, sometimes tongues of fire. By the way, when Jesus was baptized, did a tongue of fire rest upon him?
No.
So what do we learn from these narratives about the Holy Spirit and about the way that he reveals his activity? He may not reveal his presence, but his activity. What do we learn? Anybody? Stephanie?
Well, what comes to my mind is that when the dove came on Jesus, that was being a different symbol than when he sent them out to speak in new tongues. And so the tongue of fire rested on each one, so it represented the work that they were doing at that
okay,
point.
Okay, so you think there's some correlation between the symbol the Holy Spirit uses and what they're about to do?
Yes.
All right. Anybody else? Tricia Lee?
I think that certainly the Holy Spirit can work in a way that is not visible, but I think in these two instances, it was confirmation to Christ, and it was confirmation to the disciples. Jesus had already returned to heaven, and they were about to do this important work. It was confirmation that God's presence was with them. And so I think in those moments, he manifested himself so that they could have that assurance.
Yes.
You think of someone like Stephen. The Bible says he, with the other seven deacons, or six plus him, were full of the Holy Spirit, full of power. There's no record of doves resting on them or tongues of fire, or even with them speaking in other languages. But it says they were full of the Holy Spirit. For Stephen, he preached the word so powerfully, no one could contradict what he said. In fact, so powerfully that the enemies of Jesus said, "We have to kill this man." So, what else do you learn about the work of the Holy Spirit from these different narratives? Anybody?
He chooses to manifest himself in whatever way is best for that time. So
we allow him to make that decision, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's he's choosing, but he's active. Now, why doesn't he just appear in a material form? We think in the Old Testament scriptures that the Lord appeared like with some angels. Right? There are times that he appears in a human form. Why doesn't the Holy Spirit just walk up in human form and touch? Could he have done that?
Yes.
So why doesn't he just walk and touch each of them on the head and say, "Okay, receive the Holy Spirit. I'm blessing you now." Do we have an answer? What do you think, Gary?
Well, I think that he's supposed to reflect Jesus Christ, right? He's supposed to guide us into all truth, which is Jesus. And Jesus is what the disciples knew of who God was. When you see Jesus, you see the Father. So he's just always directing back to Jesus. He doesn't want to express himself in the same type of way, or it doesn't seem like he expresses himself in the same form, because that's what Jesus did in his part of the plan of salvation.
By the way, one of the things that's very exciting about the ministry of the Spirit, because unlike the Son of God comes into humanity and now has laid aside his omnipresence, right? He's in one place at the same time. But Jesus said the Holy Spirit can be with you and in you, right?
Always.
Yeah, that means wherever you are, whether you're in Jamaica or Zambia or, you know, what was southwest of England, you know, wherever you are, he can be with you. Amen. And he will... I think what Joshua said is really important. He'll choose to manifest his presence in the way that he knows is most appropriate.
Yes.
And we'll pray that we can notice. Jonathan.
I mean, we certainly don't know, we can't say who God is, like as far as his form and what character he has as far as nature. But we can certainly see that, like you said, the actions. And I think it is the work of the Son. You're talking about walking up, and it just seems like it's the Son who comes and reveals himself in a personal form, whereas the Holy Spirit seems to be more this work in us, this kind of hidden work. So I don't want to say for sure that he doesn't have a physical form, but it doesn't seem like that's his role, his action, who he is. He seems like he's more the kind of working behind the scenes as far as...
What we're going to discover is whatever form he may reveal himself or a symbol he may use to show his activity, he's very real, very present, and many people may not realize this, but he was active even from creation.
Yes.
And that's where we want to go after your comment, Kyle.
Oh, I was just thinking about how you said, you know, why don't we see the Holy Spirit in person? It seems like, and you know, it's hard to understand sometimes when you think about the Holy Spirit, but what I can see is that he's always lifting up Jesus. He's always... You know, it's like he's always glorifying Jesus, and Jesus is glorifying the Father. So you see this picture of unselfish love in the Holy Spirit. That's beautiful.
It is, and Jesus said, "I'll pray the Father, he'll send you another." And the word there means one like, another comforter.
Right.
He's like Jesus. He's like the Son of God who came into humanity in the person of Jesus, who said, you know, love one another, love your enemies. The love of God revealed. Yes. Let's go back to creation. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. and then a couple of texts in the Psalms that show us perhaps something new, and that is who was involved in this creative work. Brittany, Genesis 1 and verse 2, if you'd read it for us.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Genesis 1 and verse 2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters.
Spirit of God was hovering. Now, very interesting. Go to Psalm 33 and verse 6. Psalm 33 and verse 6. Alex, do you have that? We'll read verse 6 of Psalm 33 for us.
Okay, and I'll be reading from the King James Version. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth.
Now, that word breath is the same word in Hebrew as spirit. Mm-hmm. So this is very interesting that you might say, wow, God speaks, but the Spirit is active in that creative work. Look in Psalm 104. Verse 30. In a previous study, the psalmist said, the Lord put his word on my mouth. So these aren't just scripture songs, but they're inspired scripture songs. Nicole, Psalm 104, verse 30.
Psalm 104, verse 30, I'm reading from the New International Version, and it says, when you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground.
When you send your spirit, they are created. Now, I'm going to add Colossians 1, because it's very important in the New Testament that the Son of God who came into humanity as Jesus of Nazareth was actually the active agent in the creation of the world.
Yes.
Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. I'm adding that text, but let's see if someone has it. I see Bibles moving. Stephanie, verses 16 and 17 of Colossians 1.
All right. And from the New King James Version, for by him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist.
And who is the he that is being referred to there?
Christ.
Jesus,
Son of God.
Yes.
It refers to him, the kingdom of the Son of his love in verse 13. So this is the Son of God who comes into humanity, is the creator. But why is it important to recognize that while the Son of God may be leading out in the creation, that the Spirit of God is also, and we would say certainly the Father, because they say, let us make man in our image. So the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are involved. Why is it important to recognize that the Holy Spirit is active in the creation of this world? What do you think? Anybody? Stephanie?
Well, what comes to my mind is they all have the same purpose.
Yes.
And creation was their purpose, and then they have the same purpose in recreating us as well.
So is that why the Holy Spirit's so active in the plan of salvation?
Yes.
We're going to study about that. Is that why the Holy Spirit's so active in wanting a reversal of the mess that we've ended up in?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Because through this whole experience, the Holy Spirit has been active. Well, let's go on to the sanctuary service. We're in Exodus chapter 25, verses 8 and 9. The sanctuary was what? What was the sanctuary? What was it trying to tell us in this pattern, this tent with all of the furniture? Brittany, what was it about?
It was a spiritual object lesson for the people about the plan of salvation. Since they lived before Christ, it was showing them what he would come to do in order to bring them back to the Father.
And did Moses make it up? Where did he get it?
From God himself.
Gave it to them.
Yeah, let's look in Exodus chapter 25, verses 8 and 9. Jamie, would you read that for us?
The New Living Translation says, have the people of Israel build me a holy sanctuary so I can live among them. You must build this tabernacle and its furnishings exactly according to the pattern I will show you.
Okay, so this is by divine revelation, right? Mm-hmm. Sees the pattern, build it. And I wondered where it says, let them make me a sanctuary that I... Who's the I there? Is that the Father or is it the Son who will later come into humanity as our Savior, or the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
It's all three.
Yes. All three.
All three.
Yeah. Come, I want to dwell among you. And I just thought of one example of the Spirit, and then we're going to look at how he equipped people, of the Holy Spirit's presence, even in that, use the word object lesson, I think, or the story. You've got the seven-branch lampstand. Mm-hmm. I used to call it a seven-branch candlestick, but they weren't actually candles, were they? Mm-hmm. They were little oil lamps. Mm-hmm. Now, all of the symbols, the bread, the lamp, the lamb, all point to
Jesus
or the Christ who will come in the person of Jesus. But take the lampstand, for example, and you've got the little lamp and the light represents the Savior, the Messiah will come. But what makes that light? What's there to make that lamp burn?
The oil.
And the oil represents
the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit's activity, anointing my head with oil, is the anointing with the Spirit of God. So the Spirit is there in this object lesson. Yes. He's active. But he's also there in another way, in Exodus 31, verses 1 through 5. And this is interesting. Jason, do you have that? Verses 1 through 5. How is the Holy Spirit active not only in the creation of the world, but even in the creation of this object lesson that Brittany just told us about?
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Exodus chapter 31, verses 1 through 5. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold, in silver, in bronze, in cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship."
Now, it almost sounds like he's being called to be a prophet. You know, I filled him with all the Spirit of God. We talked about prophet in a previous study, not only as telling the future, but what else, Tricia Lee? Do you remember the prophet?
Speak on behalf of God.
So is this craftsman about to speak on behalf of God?
He's going to work on behalf of
God. He's going to be working. He's going to speak without words, right? Yeah. Yeah. The Spirit has filled him to share a message in the things that he makes.
I think we just often think of, you know, only through words can we give a message of the Spirit. But God's Spirit empowers people, like in this case, to do something with his hands. He had a skill.
Right.
And God used him to make the sanctuary. And that's a beautiful gift that God gave.
It surely is. Alex?
Yeah, I see here we have a situation where, you know, this is directions for the sanctuary. This is a place where God was indwelled with his people through over the ages. And so he wants direction. He wants this place to be a special place for God to communicate with his people. And so he sends the Holy Spirit to give direction for and guidance for this project.
Yeah, I mean, it's a beautiful picture of this craftsman, like, on a special work for God.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This craft woman, you know, making something there. Maybe, I don't know what when they made those curtains. Did he make all the curtains too? I think he was with the gold and with the silver and the bronze. But that God is putting his Spirit upon people to tell the truth about God in this object lesson.
Yes. Yes.
The Holy Spirit's active there. Now I have a question. Could the Holy Spirit have simply said, "Let there be a laver, boom. Let there be an altar of sacrifice, boom. Let there be, what else do we need? Seven-branch lampstand, boom. Let there be a table of showbread, boom. Let there be altar of incense, boom. And of course, let there be the Ark of the Covenant with the cherubim covering, boom. Could he have done that?
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So why did the Holy Spirit choose to empower this man? And the broader question is, why does he choose to use us when he could do so much better? Could he not? If he did it himself. What do you think? Anybody? Stephanie.
He wants us to partner with him.
Amen.
And to have that opportunity to strengthen our faith.
Amen.
Because as we're working with him, we see him working with us and realize that, you know, it's talking here about giving him the skill to perform the duty. We realize it's God that's doing it.
Amen.
You know, that's also true in creation. Could God have created a populated earth?
He could have. Yeah.
You say, easy. Let there be populated earth, right? But he creates our first parents and gives them, what was the word you used, partner?
Partner.
He gives them the sacred privilege of partnering with him in the creation of offspring to populate the earth. That's a sacred privilege too, isn't it?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, joining us. That's why he doesn't do it all himself. Mm-hmm. All right?
Amen.
Jonathan.
Yeah, it seems like that's part of what the Holy Spirit's kind of role or picture. Like, I mean, Christ reveals the Father, whereas the Holy Spirit seems to reveal how God wants to work with us and in us. So I think maybe that picture of part of who God is, God doesn't enforce, God doesn't, he just kind of woos, he fills us, he tries to draw us, to enable us to be partnered with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Several hands raised. I want to try to give everyone a chance. Daisy.
Yeah, I was thinking about God is the kind of God that wants to have a relationship with us.
Yes.
You know? It brings us together. When you work closely together with somebody to accomplish a mission, you get to know that person intimately or however close. You get to know things about that person that you never knew. So this is actually working for our benefit as humans because God already knows us, but he's given us a chance to get to know him on another level. Mm-hmm. When we work closely with him. So inspiring people or giving them that ability to do certain things helps them get to know him on another level.
So it's an invitation to a life-changing relationship.
Yes. Right.
Joshua.
Yes.
I believe that God wants us to have a personal experience with him in accomplishing the work that he wants to be done.
Yes.
When I think about the Word of God, many people doubt the Bible. They say, how can you believe in a book that was written by men? And I believe that they have to ask themselves the question that if all these things transpired and then somehow a book fell from heaven to the earth, would you believe it anymore? Like, isn't it more personable, more believable to have several people across a long time time period agree in the same way and have perfect harmony throughout? Isn't that much more powerful than just, oh, yeah, well, the book came out of the sky. I think it was from God.
Yeah, yeah. So the Holy Spirit is wanting us to partner with him. He could do it himself, but he wants to change our hearts. A couple of people in the back here. Jamie?
Well, you know, we each have a role to play as part of the body of Christ, and the Holy Spirit helps us realize our talents, and the Bible asks us to do everything that we do to the glory of God, and we can do that with the power of the Holy Spirit, no matter what it is.
And I think not only do we experience closeness, but we can experience joy, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Nicole?
Well, I just think it's awesome that God knows human nature, because if you look at psychology, you know that when you empower someone and you actually make them a part of the process, they're more committed to it and they're actually, there's follow through. And so I think God knew that we needed to be a part of the process and empowered to make the choice to follow him because then we'd be committed to actually doing it.
Amen.
Yeah, that's a powerful lesson. We're going to move on to what, I know I've heard these texts before, but it was just startling again to look at every step of the plan of salvation unfolding that the Holy Spirit was actively involved. So we're going to read through quite a few texts, but see if you can hear the pattern unfolding as we start in Luke chapter 1, verses 26, Tricia Lee, through 35. It may be a text some have heard in connection with the Christmas story, the story of the coming of the Son of God into humanity in the person of Jesus.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Mm. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God.
Now, who's writing here? Who's writing this book?
Luke,
right? Was he there?
No.
But we learned in a previous study about how revelation and inspiration works, that in this situation, the Holy Spirit guided Luke to do what? Remember?
To
talk to eyewitnesses, mm-hmm. and then guided to write down an accurate account. So is it possible that Mary was still living? Hmm. He writes about 60 A.D., you know, has a little break. Paul's put into prison. Most Bible scholars think it was about that time that his gospel record. Is it possible that she was still living and that Luke had actually been able to speak to her? Mm-hmm. Yes. Is that possible?
Yes.
She was a young woman when she conceived, right? Mm-hmm. Well, she would certainly be older at that point. Some believe that she was living in Ephesus, so we don't know where she was, but that John had gone to Ephesus and she may have been there. Paul went through Ephesus. That means Luke went through too. I don't know.
Right.
But it could have been just a dream given to him, right? A revelation. But the important point there was, how would this miraculous conception occur? What was the answer?
Through the Holy Spirit.
By the Holy Spirit. Remember that as we go now to Luke 3, verses 21 and 22. Alex, you read that for us?
Sure. I'll be reading from the King James Version. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased.
Mm. I love that text because we see a snapshot of the Trinity there, Father, yes. Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Right? The Father speaks, the Spirit descends in the form of a yes. dove. And of course the Son of God has come into humanity,
Amen.
Emmanuel. God with us, then Jesus. But right after that, in chapter 4, verse 1 of Luke, something else happens. The Holy Spirit let out mm-hmm. in the conception. He's there at the baptism. Mm-hmm. What's chapter 4, verse 1? Gary, you have that?
Yes, I do.
4, verse 1.
Okay, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness.
What's going to happen in the wilderness?
Temptation.
You know, it's different wording from Matthew. Matthew says he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil.
Mm.
Which almost sounds like the Holy Spirit is leading him into temptation.
Mm.
Is that what the Holy Spirit does?
No.
The Holy Spirit is always leading us in the way of God's will for our lives.
Right.
Does the Holy Spirit know that the temptations will come in the wilderness?
Sure.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
But what's encouraging about that verse in Luke's account is that he goes out. What was the phrase there? How is he going?
Filled with the Holy Spirit.
Right. Yeah.
You know, if Satan had been paying attention, he would have known already he was in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jesus is filled with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit's right there in that time of conflict in the wilderness. Jonathan?
I was just thinking, as we look at these texts on Christ, it seems like we can kind of see Christ's life as an example of the picture that God wants. I mean, he was the tabernacle on earth. He was, I mean, the perfect picture of what God wants to have in our life. And so I was thinking about Mary, when she has this divine new life planted in her, that's a symbol of what the Holy Spirit wants to do in us and plant this new, holy, new life in us that grows and produces life.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit's active in that whole process, and now we come to the ministry. Kyle, you had a comment before we go to Luke 4, 14 through 19.
Just off what John, I think that Jesus is our example. Jesus, every time we see him, he's constantly relying upon the Holy Spirit, and yet he's the Son of God. Mm-hmm. Why does the Son of God have to rely on the Holy Spirit? And I think it just shows he was giving us an example of how much we need to mm-hmm. humbly rely upon God to fill us mm-hmm. to be empowered by His Spirit to do His work. Amen. We can't do it of ourselves.
Mm. So the Son of God does not use His divine power for His own benefit, but comes fully, He's fully man.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Jesus of Nazareth, as well as fully Son of God.
Right.
But He's allowing the Holy Spirit every step of the journey, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Every step of the journey. And we hear it in Luke 4, verses 14 through 19. Jonathan, if you'd read that starting in verse 14. He actually quotes from a 700-year-old prophecy about Messiah. Now let's see what it says.
All right. I'll be reading from the New International Version. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about Him spread throughout the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised Him. He went to Nazareth, where He had been brought up on the Sabbath day. He went into the synagogue, as was His custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to Him. Unrolling it, He found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on Me, because He has anointed Me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent Me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor."
Wouldn't it be amazing, whatever God called us to do, we could turn to our friends and say, "I'm going to go in the power of the Holy Spirit." Mm. Mm. What would happen? Mm. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 13 and 14. We're seeing how active the Holy Spirit is in the whole plan of salvation unfolding. And in Hebrews, Nicole, do you have verses 13 and 14 of Hebrews 9? Even in the offering up of the Lamb of God, the Holy Spirit is not absent. Let's see what the author of Hebrews tells us.
Hebrews 9, 13 through 14, I'm reading from the New International Version, and it says, "The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God."
Is that beautiful?
Amen. Mm-hmm.
By the eternal Spirit, He offers Himself. The Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are actively involved in this whole work of salvation. And the story is not over, because somebody read 1 Peter 3, verse 18. 1 Peter, Daisy, do you have 1 Peter 3 and verse 18?
Sure. The New Living Translation says, "Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but He died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but He was raised to life in the Spirit."
He was raised to life in the Spirit.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
In the Spirit. Amen. Beautiful. And the work of the Spirit doesn't stop. You say, oh, Messiah, Emmanuel came, conceived of the Holy Spirit, born, baptized in the Spirit, led by the Spirit, delivered, goes out of those temptations, filled with the Spirit. Thus, His ministry by the power of the Spirit is offered as a lamb by the eternal Spirit.
Amen.
But then He's raised by the Spirit. Did we read 1 Peter? But the work's not over there. Someone go to John 16, because now the Holy Spirit is going to say, we've not only accomplished this plan, but I've got something to do to fulfill this plan.
Amen.
And what is it? Well, let's look at the text, Stephanie. John 16, 7 and 8.
And from the New King James Version, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. And when He has come, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment."
So the Holy Spirit now brings conviction to us of our need for
Jesus.
The Savior, Jesus, right? But it's still not finished. He still has more to do. Romans chapter 8. Stephanie, do you have Romans? Chapter 8, verses 1 and 10 and 11. What else is the Holy Spirit going to do in this plan of salvation?
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Verse 10 and 11. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you.
Amen.
Is that awesome? Amen. Remember Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Mm-hmm. How does he come to us?
Through the Holy Spirit.
Through the Holy Spirit. I'll be with you and I'll be in you. So think about your own life now. Think about how God led you to salvation. Think about how he's led you in your spiritual journey. And share with me a time that you really saw the Holy Spirit at work. Or maybe it's something happened even in the last few weeks where the Holy Spirit's saying, I know you've been walking with Jesus and for a long time, but I just need to remind you of the Holy Spirit at work. Someone like to share a testimony of the Holy Spirit working out the plan? Brittany?
Well, there's many times where I don't realize that I've said something or done something that maybe hurt somebody, and the Holy Spirit will bring that to my heart and just encourage me, Brittany, you need to go talk to that person, or maybe that wasn't the best way of saying or doing something, and that's the Holy Spirit at work convicting us of sin and leading us again.
So you grew up in a Christian family. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you weren't like the Saul of Tarsus who needed to be struck down at the Damascus Road, but he's leading you in every decision of your life,
yes.
And you're aware of that. Nicole?
I was actually recently in church, and usually I have to leave church because my kids make a lot of noise, but for some reason this day they were very quiet. Mm-hmm. And the speaker spoke about having Judas within you. Mm-hmm. And he actually talked about an experience that he currently has, that he's actually battling with Judas that's inside of him. And
we have to explain what that means, because that sounds... We know that Judas was driven by self-interest,
yes,
rather than by the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Is that where he was heading?
Yes, and he was just saying that there are times where, even though we might be in our Christian walk, that there are things within us that kind of dismisses Christ from our life because we want to get involved in our own thing. Mm-hmm. And so he was talking, and I sat there, and I realized there was something in my life right now that I really need to pray about and actually ask the Lord to take that piece of Judas out of me, because I'm not actually reflecting him in my relationship while I have that piece in me.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's intense. So the Holy Spirit said, listen to what this kind of unusual language about Judas in you, but this self-serving
peace
that, wow, that's direct. Remember I said the Holy Spirit may be much more direct with us than we should ever be with someone else. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyone else like to share? Daisy.
I think in my personal Christian walk, you know, sometimes you have your highs and your lows, and we're still face temptations every day. And I feel the Holy Spirit's conviction every time I'm tempted to sin, and I remember, okay, you need to back away from this. Or you're heading down a certain path, and you get that conviction. You know, the Word of God comes to you and like, God would not be happy if you do this, or this is not right. So it's a daily experience where you're always feeling that conviction. And I thank God, because sometimes I know I stray from God so much. But when I get that conviction, I know the Spirit is still with me, because if I wasn't sensing it, yes, I would know I am totally, I would even know that I'm gone.
Yes.
So I thank God for that sense that, you know, of conviction that this is wrong. You need to get back on track.
Amen.
So the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we learned that he's also always pointing us to Jesus.
Yes. Yeah.
And I want to just look at three texts, and then I'll give you a little more chance to share, okay? So look at these texts with me. John 15:26, John 14:26, and 1 John. These are all written by John. I think he had something he wanted to tell us. Remember, John himself says, these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and by believing you may have life through his name. Let's see what he says in John 15 and verse 26. Brittany?
Sure, I'll be reading from the New King James Version, John 15, verse 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me.
Mm-hmm. So the true Spirit of God is going to point people to?
Jesus.
That's what Jesus said. Let's go back and look at John 14 and verse 26. Very close, but amplified a little. Nicole, verse 26 of John 14.
I'm reading from the New International Version. It says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you."
Amen.
So he's not just pointing people to Jesus, but he's even reminding people what Jesus taught, right?
Yes.
Now, 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And Jason, you have that? Would read it for us?
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God."
So the Holy Spirit's always going to point to Jesus. Now, let me ask you a question. We sang a scripture song. The fruit of the Spirit is?
Love.
Okay, don't sing it. we learned it, right? So would it be a fairly good indicator if a person is full of love that they're full of the Spirit?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it depends.
And it depends, huh?
Depends.
Okay.
What they're reflecting.
The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Would it be a fairly good indicator that they're full of the Spirit if they're full of joy?
And love.
And love.
Depends, right.
And long-suffering.
Okay, you want to have them all. Joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Would it be a fairly good indication that a person is filled with the Holy Spirit if all of the fruits are manifest in their lives?
Yes. I think so, yes.
Yes.
Because we can't do it ourselves.
Okay, so we can't. We could hang fake fruit,
right.
But probably. But let's be careful, according to 1 John chapter 4.
Test them.
That even when a person may appear to be very loving and joyful, love, joy, peaceful, right? Love, joy, peace, kind. That the greatest indication that she or he is filled with the Holy Spirit is what, Daisy?
If they're always pointing to Jesus.
They're always pointing to Jesus.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, you tell me, if I know someone who's always pointing to Jesus, you're going to see the fruit of the Spirit in her, right? You're going to see the love and the joy and the peace. But be careful if a person appears to be very fruitful, but they're never talking about Jesus. So I'm going to give you an opportunity now in the moments And it's a little risky, I suppose, because we don't want to flatter people. But as you think about your Christian journey, maybe it may be someone you know right now, or maybe someone from when you were little. Can you think of someone that you say, you know, that person was always pointing people to Jesus, which is a very good indication that that person is or was filled with the Spirit, right?
Amen.
Somebody come to your mind? And you say, wow, I can think of someone. Gary?
Oh, yeah. I mean, my uncle, he's a pastor. But just his life, how kind, how loving. He looked after my family, looked after his congregation. He would always go out and visit and minister to them and their needs, and just the way his family was. I just can't think of anyone else.
By the way, for those of you who can't see. Was that here in the U.S.?
In the U.S.
And by the way, would it be possible to be a pastor and not filled with the Spirit?
Yes. It is possible.
Okay, so you're seeing and saying, you were smiling, thank God my uncle, who is a pastor, filled with the Spirit, always pointing people to Jesus.
Yeah.
And while you were sharing that, Daisy, you were smiling. And I know you don't know Gary's uncle, but someone else came to your mind and you're saying, wow, that person was filled with the Spirit because always pointing people to Jesus. Who came to your mind?
Actually, my mother. And I say that because, you know, when you hang around certain people and certain changes happen, you know, and you're close to them, you see it. And it's more apparent to me, especially after my father died, which is her husband died. And she had, it's like, you would expect somebody to who has lost a close loved one like that to be miserable and just probably give up their faith in God and just turn their backs on Him. But rather, it has made her stronger. She's always, oh yeah, God will take care of it. God will do this. You know, she's always singing, happy, joyful. The things that in the past would have offended her, she would probably scream at you and stuff like that. She's like, that's okay. She's more gentle in everything. So I've, now that we're talking about the fruits of the Spirit, I'm like, wow, okay, I actually see that in her.
Ah. Wow. And pointing people to Jesus, yes, in spite of the challenge that she's been going on. Oh, right. Joshua.
I would say, and this one is broad, but I would say several elderly members, okay, of the church, you know, churches all around the world. I say that because the elderly have experienced life for so many years and they've gained so much wisdom. And there's also this excitement to see the God that made them when their life ends. Mm. And I see such wisdom being just exuded from the elderly people that I meet. And I love the fact that they always want to talk about God. Mm-hmm. And when I was a child, I didn't want to be around older people. But, you know, now I see that, you know, God has a special purpose for those of an older age, especially within our church.
Closing question. How can we be like those people, like the uncle, like your mother, like some of the elderly saints? By the way, not all elderly people are full of the Holy Spirit.
That's true.
I've met some mean ones, right? How can we be like those kind of people? Just a few seconds in closing. How is it by trying, Nicole? How can we be like those people?
It's through prayer and asking for yourself to be available to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
It's not by trying harder. Maybe you say, the kind of person who was pointing people to Jesus. How is it possible? It is not by trying harder. It's by asking as Jesus did. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me.
Amen.
You can pray that prayer. In fact, we need to. Not to try to earn our way to heaven, but because we are saved by the grace of God. The Spirit's been with us all the way through. He wants to bless us now and through us to pour a blessing to those around us. Oh, the Spirit may work in mysterious ways, but He's very active and wants to be ever more active in our lives. Can we pray that He would be? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, what a wonderful series of studies on the Holy Spirit and spirituality. And we just thank You for the working of the Holy Spirit through the plan of salvation and now in our hearts. We pray that we would be open, filled with the Spirit, always pointing people to Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, Savior of the world. And we thank You in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I hope you'll stay with us for this series on the Holy Spirit and spirituality. It could change your life. But you know, God not only wants to bless your life, but through His Spirit, He wants to pour His blessings to those around you. Take what you've learned. Go out and make a difference by the power of the Holy Spirit.